From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called Gilgal, Godliness Before Service, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's meditation is found in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 41. I will rejoice over them to do them good. How heart-cheering to the believer is the delight which God has in His saints. We cannot see any reason in ourselves why the Lord should take pleasure in us. We cannot take delight in ourselves, for we often have to groan being burdened, conscious of our sinfulness and deploring our unfaithfulness. And we fear that God's people cannot take much delight in us, for they must perceive so much of our imperfections and our follies, that they may rather lament our infirmities than admire our graces. But we love to dwell upon this transcendent truth, this glorious mystery, that as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so does the Lord rejoice over us. We do not read anywhere that God delighteth in the cloud-capped mountains or the sparkling stars, but we do read that He delighteth in the habitable parts of the earth, and that His delights are with the sons of men. We do not find it written that even angels give His soul delight, nor doth He say concerning cherubim and seraphim, Thou shalt be called Hephzibah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. But He does say it to all poor fallen creatures like ourselves, debased and depraved by sin, but saved, exalted, and glorified by His grace. In what strong language He expresses His delight in His people! Who could have conceived of the Eternal One as bursting forth into a song? Yet it is written, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. As He looked upon the world He had made, He said, It is very good. But when He beheld those who are the purchase of Jesus' blood, His own chosen ones, it seemed as if the great heart of the infinite could restrain itself no longer, but overflowed in divine exclamations of joy. Should not we utter our grateful response to such a marvelous declaration of His love, and sing, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Yeah.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for your taking the time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by phone, by email, or by regular postal mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish to write, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, if you enjoy this program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week. In chapter 5 of the book of Joshua, we find the children of Israel now encamped inside the land of Canaan. Before the conquest began, however, Joshua did something that must have appeared entirely out of place in preparing for war. At the Lord's command, he reinstituted the rite of circumcision there at Gilgal. The generation born during the 40 years' wilderness wandering had not been circumcised. Yet circumcision was a covenant obligation which God had given to Abraham, that which was the identifying mark of the nation of Israel. It represented consecration to the Lord. Dr. Cairns is drawing some important parallels between the resumption of circumcision and the necessary preparation every child of God must undertake if he would serve the Lord. By this act, God's people renewed their covenant commitment to Jehovah. In the terms of the covenant, the illimitable God had bound himself to his people, promising to bestow countless blessings upon them. On their side, there were obligations as well, including the necessity of obeying God's commands. Sadly, like many modern-day Christians, the Israelites desired the blessings, but they were not so interested in the obligations. The challenge is to renew our covenant engagements to the Lord. Now here's Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Gilgal, Godliness Before Service.
Joshua recognized if this people was ever to enter into its possession, if the Israelites were ever to defeat their strong enemies, if they were ever to resist the snares of heathen religions set like so many traps all around about them. They must walk constantly in the light of their covenant with God. And that is why he reinstituted the rite of circumcision. We could apply to this the words that I've made passing reference to from Ezekiel 20, verse 37, where the Lord, speaking of Israel in another day, said, I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. That's exactly what the Lord was doing when he, through Joshua, reinstituted circumcision in Joshua chapter 5 at this place called Gilgal. He was counting them again as a shepherd would make his sheep pass under the rod. He was counting them his people. But he was saying, if I count you my people, then understand this, the covenant is to be reinstituted. I will bring you under the bond of the covenant. Now the lesson of all this is clear to the people of God today. We are his people. It hath pleased the Lord to make us his people. The New Testament church is specifically termed by the apostle the Israel of God. And as God's people, his people within the covenant of grace, we have received from him, first of all, the gift of his Son. Secondly, we have received all spiritual blessings and benefits in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are told again that he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So as God's people, we have entered into God's covenant. And in that covenant of grace, through the merits of Christ, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And in that covenant, God has bound himself to us. This is one of the majestic truths about covenant theology. And I don't use covenant theology as a term of human interpretation of Scripture. I use it in the biblical sense that God has revealed himself always to his people in an unfolding of the covenant of grace. That's the great key to Scripture. God has always revealed himself in an unfolding of the covenant of grace. He has never revealed himself to his people after the fall apart from the covenant of grace, apart from Jesus Christ. And the great and majestic truth of covenant theology is this, that God, now understand the words I'm using. Maybe this should be a reason why you should be in the class in the attributes of God. God is unbounded. God is not only unlimited, but he is illimitable. So many people want to put God in a little box, their own little theological box. He bursts every theological system. The heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How can any system that you can fit in your mind ever contain God? Can't be done. And yet this unbounded, unlimited, illimitable God has bound himself to us in the terms of a covenant which he can never break and will never break. And in binding himself to us, he has bound us to him, and he has laid upon us all the blessings and all the obligations of that covenant whereby we should walk in its light. Now let me make it clear, when I talk about the obligations of the covenant, they are themselves blessings of the covenant. When God loads us, when he puts a load upon us, according to the 68th Psalm, it's a load of benefits. He says that he daily loadeth us with benefits. So when God brings us into a bond of covenant with Himself, and He lays upon us the obligations of the covenant, listen, those very obligations are in themselves a great blessing and a tremendous source of strength, encouragement, and benefit. The law of God on the back of a rebel may appear to be a burden. But as the psalmist could say, the law of God in the heart of a saint is a delight. Why is God's law a delight? It is a delight for this one simple yet sublime reason. That bound to God in the terms of the covenant of grace and united to Jesus Christ and covered by His merits, clothed in His righteousness, wrapped up with Him in the bundle of eternal life, every obligation is a proclamation of our oneness, of our salvation, of our privilege, and of the grace that is ours. Let's learn this today then. God has made us His people and has led us under the bond of the covenant. Now, when we came to Christ at first, we looked at the bond of the covenant like that. In the fire of our first love, every obligation, every duty was a delight. Can you not remember times when it was a delight to get into God's Word and spend time reading God's Word and studying God's Word? It was a delight to come and hear the preaching of God's Word. It was a delight to open your heart to the instruction of God's Word. Can you not remember times when it was a delight to get alone with God and lay hold of God and spend time with God? It was a delight to take your stand for God, to open your mouth for Christ, and to make known the mystery of the gospel as He gave you opportunity to witness. Oh, we can look back when we were saved and first came to Christ. All the obligations of the covenant were delightsome to our heart. But for many Christians, unfortunately, with the passage of time, with the pressure of business, with the worry of the family, with so many things to do, so many calls upon our attention, for so many Christians, there has been a time like the wilderness wanderings, a time of forgetting our obligations, a time when the obligations have become burdensome, not delightsome. We have indeed, like the children of Israel, been happy to grasp at the benefits and the blessings of the covenant. And oh, we've been very neglectful. Let me tell you, we stand in our lives, in many cases, where these Israelites stood. All were in the land of Canaan. But we are never going to possess it. We're never going to enjoy it. We're never going to live in victory. We're never going to extend the kingdom of God by overthrowing the strongholds of hell through our service until we learn the renewal of our covenant with God. The Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a wonderful blessing. We have come to receive rest in Christ. In verse 29 of Matthew 11, He immediately goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you." That's the bond of the covenant. Now, of course, His yoke is easy, He says. His burden is light. But He says, "Take my yoke upon you." are you saved? Then you stand in a covenant relation to your God. And if you're ever going to enjoy salvation, and if you're ever going to serve God with diligence and with victory, you must get to the place of a renewing of your covenant engagements with God. The old time preachers used to preach a lot on this. You think of your baptism by water as a symbol and picture of your baptism by the Spirit into the body of Christ. What does that baptism proclaim? Many things, including a cleansing, a regenerating. But one thing it proclaims is your union with Christ. It proclaims death to the world and life to Christ. It proclaims your willingness to bow before Christ, to acknowledge Him as your Lord and as your Master. It proclaims that you're willing to follow Him, be it into death itself, to glorify His name. Renewing the covenant is remembering what we once proclaimed so loudly. Renewing the covenant is getting back to basics and entering again with freshness into the joy of that relationship with our Redeemer. We must never evade, or we must never forget, our duty to our Savior. We don't want Him to forget His covenant bond with us, do we? What would we say if God were to say, I'm taking a year off from my covenant obligations to you? My, we would be tremendously worried about that. And yet there are so many Christians, and they live forgetful of their covenant with God. You remember that's why the Lord Jesus set up the Lord's table. What did He say? This do. For why? In remembrance of me. Why did He say, do this in remembrance of me? Wouldn't you think that the disciples who actually saw Him crucified with their own eyes, then they saw Him with those same eyes, they saw Him risen again physically from the dead, they ate with Him, they talked with Him, they walked with Him, risen from the dead. Wouldn't you think that those men would never forget? But the Lord Jesus knew better than that. The things that we imagine we can never forget are the very things that we will be most prone to forget. He said, this do in remembrance of me. You see, it is tragically all too possible for Christians to live in practical forgetfulness of their covenant union with Christ. If we're to do anything, there must be first the renewal of the covenant. That's the first thing that's proclaimed by the reinstitution of circumcision.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.